1 Samuel chapter number 15. Josh, did you turn that recorder on already? Okay. You did that quick. I didn't see it. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And we're going to be looking at this passage here concerning Saul's rebellion and the subsequent rejection of Saul because of this rebellion. And we'll see if we can't see some parallels in this passage, particularly of our own lives. See if we can't see some rebellions in us. Here in chapter number 15, Saul is given specific instruction, and Saul will fail in his obedience. He will disobey the Lord in this specific instruction. Now, Saul was the king of Israel, and he was the king of Israel that Israel demanded of the Lord. Israel said, hey, we want to be like all these other nations around us. We want to have a king too. Their king was God, but that wasn't good enough. No, we don't want... That's all wonderful, God, that you're our king, but you know, hey, we won't look like everybody else. So can't we have a king like everybody else's God? And so God gave them a king. It's what they wanted. He gave it to them, and they were given Saul, son of Kish. Now, Saul, immediately in his coming to power, we see Saul's leadership over his armies. We see the Lord blessing him with victories as Saul comes in to his own, but it doesn't take very long before we see Saul's impatience, and we see here in this passage Saul's rebellion. When in chapter 13 we see where Saul begins to mess up. Samuel is to come and bless the army before they go to battle, and they wait 7 days on Samuel to get there, and Samuel doesn't come as quickly as Saul thinks he ought to come. So Saul says, well, just bring me the sacrifices, and I'll go and sacrifice to the Lord, and then we'll go to battle. And so Saul went and he performed the sacrifice and brought the sacrifices before the Lord and said, there we go. Now we're set. We can go on and do our business now. And so we see his impatience. And because of that impatience, there in chapter 13, we see God says, through Samuel, you are rejected as king. I've chosen me another. And that, of course, would be David. And here we see in this passage the second rejection of Saul. Of the Lord, as the Lord says, all right, that's it. You are rejected as king in his rebellion here. So we see in this passage the clear command of God and the clear disobedience and rebellion of Saul. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you, Father, for your goodness this day to us, your many blessings, Father, that you pour out upon us. There's so many things, Father, that you constantly pour out on us each and every day, from the time that we open our eyes in the morning, even the blessings that you give us while we sleep and rest. Father, it is just your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your blessings are constantly upon us. And Father, we praise you for this. For we realize how undeserving we are of the least of your blessings, and yet they're constantly being poured out upon us, your people. And so, Father, we praise you for this. Go with us this day as we look to your word. We pray that you'd open it before us and give us understanding of these things and application for our own lives, that we would recognize how easy it is for us, Father, to fail you and to come short of your glory. How easy it is for us to be a rebellious child. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to see that in us as we study these passages today. Go with us now as we look to your word. Bless each soul that's come this way today, that our hearts and our minds would be turned toward you, that we would consider you this day as we worship, that we might lift up your name on high. Go with us now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, here we see in the first three verses here, we see God's clear command to Saul and what he wanted Saul to do. And so he tells us here, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so here, God gives Saul a clear command. I remember the sins of Amalek. Amalek had laid in wait for Israel on their journey from Egypt. There in Rephidim, they came out to fight them. They ambushed them there. These were their cousins. These folks were the descendants of Esau. And here they come out, laid in wait for them, tried to take opportunity to defeat them. And God said, I remember that wickedness. And this Amalek, we see further descriptions given of them in the Word of God, and they were a wicked, idolatrous people. Absolute wickedness. They were a nomadic tribe that moved around quite a bit in that area, and here they were ancient foes of Israel, and God remembers that wickedness. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 25, we see in verse 19 of that passage, Deuteronomy 25 and verse 19, he says here, therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. And so God, while the children of Israel are in the wilderness, God said, when you come into the promised land at last, you're going to eventually wipe out Amalek. You're going to remove them from the presence of the earth. There'll be no remembrance of them left. That was God's command. That was God's righteous judgment against this people, Amalek. And he was using Israel as those to carry out that justice on those nations of the earth at that time to do his business of judgment. And here he gives Saul this responsibility to go forth and do carry out his judgment on the tribe of Amalek. But we find a problem here as this goes forward. So God gives his clear command. Verse number 4. Notice with me, verse 4 down through verse 7, we see Saul fights the battle here. And so it says, and Saul gathered the people. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Again, he says, Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city in Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And so here, Saul goes to do what God had commanded him to do, to go down there to fight against Amalek. He warns the Kenites that were encamped there around the Amalekites, y'all need to get out of the way. You all were a blessing to the children of Israel. You've been a kindness to them. So you all get out of the way. You've got your opportunity to leave and get saved, because we're going to come down and we're going to destroy everything. And so the Kenites, they depart from that place. Saul goes down to fight the battle, and it says that he smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. So far, sounds pretty good, don't it? Fought the battle. Sounds like he's done everything God's told him to do. But then we see Saul's disobedience. Verse number 8 and 9. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, very simply, did Saul do what God commanded him to do? He said, go down, destroy them completely. Destroy everything they have, every last one of them. My judgment is against them. Go down and destroy them. And so Saul goes down. He fights the battle. He destroys them. He smoked the Amalekites. But Agag, the king of the Amalekites, he takes him prisoner. But Saul and the people, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So they go down, they fight the battle, they smite the Amalekites, as God said. But hey, wait a minute now, King Agag, we might want to do something different with him, so hang on to him. And wait a minute, these sheep over here, they look like a good flock of sheep. And you know, my sheep have been poor this year. Maybe I need to take some of those sheep home with me. And you know, these oxen over here, I've been needing a new set of oxen to plow my fields with, and this is just an opportunity right here. Maybe I need to take them home with me. You know, they just don't make sense. The Lord just don't make sense that the Lord would have me to destroy such a good pair of oxen here. And so they bring back these sheep, and they bring back these oxen from the battlefield, along with Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And so we see this partial obedience of Saul. What is partial obedience? It's disobedience. Partial obedience is total disobedience. Partial obedience is total disobedience. And my goodness, how many times in our own lives have we excused our partial obedience simply because it fit the moment? It felt good at the time. It was, well, surely the Lord understands my situation. And so because my situation is different from any other situation that's ever been in the history of life and the history of this world, surely God would understand my disobedience in this one instance. Surely He would understand and not hold this against me. How many times have we done that? How many times have those very thoughts come through our hearts? Partial disobedience is always, or partial obedience, I should say, is always disobedience. Always disobedience. And so verse 10, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel, I don't know how much Samuel was on board. We read the scriptures, and it almost, as you're reading through the book of Samuel there, it seems like maybe Samuel liked the idea of having a king like everybody else. It seemed to me, though, he leaned more toward the whole idea God would be king. And we don't, but he loved, it seems that he loved Saul. And Saul being made king. It seemed that Samuel, at least Yes, yeah, that's, if we're going to have a king, that looks like a king. And he seemed to be excited about that. And we see his disappointment with Saul in chapter 13 when Saul messes up there and he's impatient and he goes in and does the sacrifices himself instead of waiting on Samuel. We see Samuel's anger and his disappointment with Saul then. And now here we see God says, I've rejected him. It repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king. He's turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. And it says there again, it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Here Samuel is interceding on behalf of Saul. Samuel is interceding on behalf of his king before the face of God. And see there in verse 13, or verse 12 rather, when Samuel rose early. Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, in verse 13, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So Samuel comes down, he finds Saul there. And Saul, of course, he's coming back from the battle, and he's got his army that are with him, and he sees Samuel coming, and oh, praise the Lord, we have the victory. We did everything that God commanded us to do. We've done that. I obeyed completely, is what Saul said. I did exactly what God told me to do. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Wait a minute, Saul, why is it that I'm hearing these sheep bleating and these oxen lowing here in the background? Why is it that you're coming back with these flocks? Where'd you pick them up at? If you've done what God has told you to do, then why am I hearing these sounds? Why is this going on here? And Saul said, verse 15, they will see this on two or three times as we read down through this passage. The people, he says, have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. What do we see here? First of all, Saul lies and said we did exactly what God told us to do. The command was clear there in verses 1 through 3. The command was absolutely clear what God demanded of Saul. It was very clear what the result was that God was expecting from this battle. Saul disobeyed, tried to claim that he was absolutely obedient and did it all, and then when he is called to task, when he's called on his lie, what does Saul say? Well, the people, those folks that were with me, they wanted to honor the Lord in some way, and so they brought back the best to sacrifice unto the Lord. They brought back the best. You imagine that fellow that got that set of oxen for himself, and hearing Saul's going, wait a minute, no, why? Sacrifice, I'll bring this back home. Wait a minute now, I'd sacrifice to the Lord. I want lamb chops tonight. Saul said, "Oh, no, we brought him back. The people brought him back with us so that we could worship the Lord, so we could honor him at what he's given us. This great victory that we've had. Oh, we wanted to praise the Lord." How many times have you heard that? People that make all of their focus, all of their devotion, all of their service to the Lord bound up in their worship. That's the only thing that matters is what I do Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm going to serve the Lord then. I'm going to worship Him then. I'm going to do everything that the Lord requires of me in worship. I just want to praise Him. I want to honor Him. I want to glorify Him. I'm just going to be there for service. I'm going to do all of this worship of my Lord. And then they walk out of the church building and there is no difference between them and the lost around them in the world. Their speech shows no difference of Christ in them. Their lifestyle shows no difference of Christ in them. They continue on in their wickedness through the week. They continue on in their disobedience unto the Lord. They continue on defiling His Word over and over again. But boy, the next service comes in and here they are with the grins on their faces and open their mouths. Oh, let's just worship the Lord. This is what Saul's doing here. Yeah, we disobeyed, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's just a small thing because we wanted to worship the Lord. Surely God would want us to worship Him. Surely God would want us to honor Him because of this victory He's given. We've brought Him for sacrifice. Verse 16, it says, "Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of God?" Verse 20, "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, calm down, Samuel. Hey, wait a minute now. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. What do you mean, did this evil in the sight of the Lord? What do you mean, I've sinned? What do you mean, I've disobeyed? I did exactly what God, I obeyed Him. I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Even in Saul's declaration of his obedience, he declares his disobedience. I did exactly what God told me to do. And look here, see, I even brought back that guy, the king. Then he says again, "But the people, the people took the spoil. They were just so enthralled. They were just so excited at the victory God gave them. They just wanted to worship Him so much. They wanted to make sacrifice to Him. Don't you know they just wanted to, I don't want to get in the way of their worship. I don't want to bother them. That's so necessary for them to do that. I don't want to get in the way of their worship. The people took of the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. We were supposed, it should have been destroyed, but they wanted to praise the Lord. Ain't that all that matters? I mean, ain't that the only thing important, is that we worship Him, that we praise Him? God understands that's our intent. God understands that's our heart. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight at the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." What's Samuel instructing Saul here? What's Samuel saying to us? What's Samuel instructing us here? The best way for the children of God to praise God is to do what He says. The best way for us to worship Him is to be an obedient people. To simply do, what He has commanded us to do. That is the absolute best way for you and I to worship our King, is to be obedient servants of Him. It's better than the best of sacrifices, Samuel said. It's better than the oxen and the sheep, all that we can bring before. The best thing for you to do is obey Him. He goes on to say there in verse number 23. For rebellion, that's disobedience. That's Saul's disobedience for the Lord. His direction was clear. He understood completely what God had commanded of him to go do. The direction was clear. He disobeyed God's direction. And in his willing disobedience of God's direction, he rebelled against God. How many times have you willingly disobeyed God? How many times have we willingly went our own way instead of following Him? How many times have we willingly chose to do our own thing simply because it made me feel better in the moment? But God's just going to have to get over it. We don't ever say that. We say God understands. But what we're saying when we're saying that is, God just has to get over it. I did it because I wanted to do it. I disobeyed because I want to disobey. How many times have you willingly disobeyed the Lord? What Samuel declares to us here is we are all rebels against God. We've all rebelled against Him. We've all disobeyed Him. Even when we know His clear direction, even when we know His clear instruction, He's given it to us in His Word, and yet we see that and we think to ourselves, we begin to pull it apart, and we see what He's directing us, we see His commands for us. But God didn't understand, and this is so hard, this is a bad situation, I feel so bad in this, I've got to do it this way, it just feels right for me to go this direction and do it this way. Surely God will understand. Despite His clear direction otherwise. Samuel says that's rebellion. It's rebellion. And rebellion, he says, is as the sin of witchcraft. What's witchcraft? It required, in the law, it required the death penalty. Oh, but Saul says, but I only disobeyed a little bit. I mostly did it. I mostly did what God said. I mostly obeyed. Witchcraft. Deserving of death. He goes on to say there, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. What is that stubbornness? Yeah, Lord, I know what You want me to do. Yeah, Lord, I know what Your Word says. I know what You command me, but I just got to do it my way. I know what it is You want from me, but this way is just better for me in the moment. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. How's it idolatry? Because you're elevating yourself above God. You're saying, Lord, I know what You want, but my way's better. I understand me better than You understand me. Iniquity of idolatry, iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast, by the way, idolatry is also a death penalty, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. God demands obedience from His people. He demands obedience. He has given us His Word. He's told us how we are to live, how we are to serve Him, how we are to follow after Him. He has given that to us, word for word, detail for detail. He has given that to us. He demands our obedience. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And we see here in verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22, down through verse 25. James 1, verse 22, now through verse 25. James says here, but be ye doers. Be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This is what Saul did. He deceived himself. He deceived himself. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing yourself in that mirror and turning around and walking away and forgetting everything you just saw. That's being just a hearer only. But whoso, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Obey. Obey. John chapter 15 and verse number 14. John 15, verse 14. Well, let me read verse 13 as well. John 15, 13, the Lord speaking here, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Half obedience, partial obedience, is not obedience at all. It is rebellion. And it will remove a child of God from fellowship with God. It will remove a child of God from position with God. When we let disobedience rule our way, we're not to be rebels against God. We are His servants. Obey Him. Obey Him. He's given us His Word, and His Word declares what our Lord wants from us. He tells us in His Word what it is to obey Him. Obey. For He is King, and He is God. Obey Him. So stand. Brother Gordon, you bring us a song.